MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Meryl Peck, Head of Equities Research at Old Mutual Investment Group. Meryl, appreciate the time today. You make a point in a recent note that in the post-Nixon era, and of course Nixon was the one who essentially scrapped Bretton Woods, took the US off the gold standard in 72, that there have only been two bigger moves in the gold price. That was 2001 and 2008. Both clearly crises. I suppose the question is, are we kind of in a crisis now? Because gold is kind of responding that it is.
Absolutely, Simon. The momentum behind gold does indicate the level of fear and uncertainty and investor anxiety that one would see during a crisis. We've looked at trough to peak moves in the dollar per ounce gold price from 1971 to now. Clearly, it's a very volatile metal, so we've excluded moves smaller than 20%, which for any other asset sounds crazy, but if you don't do that, then the data becomes very noisy. When you exclude moves larger than 20%, then this pattern starts to emerge. And the gold price troughed this time in September 2022 at around $1,635 an ounce. And we have just now exceeded double that value. I think last year, the idea of gold heading above $2,000 again, you know, seemed quite a substantial move. And today we stand in excess of $3,000. So these numbers sound big, but I think when you look at it in the context of the delta change, it puts more of that context. So in 2001, the gold price actually troughed in April at $256 an ounce, and it peaked 5 years later in 2006 at $725. So much lower absolute numbers than now, but actually that represented a move of 182%, close to triple the gold price, right? And then in 2008, something similar. In October, the price hit a low of $712 per ounce, and it went on to peak in September 2011 at $1,895. So over 3 years, more than double, 166%. So it just shows you how strong these rallies can be when the investment demand is strong enough.
And if we then take those numbers and extrapolate it out and put it into the current gold price, we kind of get to 4,500, which is about the craziest thing I've said all week. And in fact, Goldman Sachs said it earlier in the week, although they did say, and they stress, could plausibly, let's be clear here, but that is possibly where gold is heading in the, I don't know, medium to short term.
Yeah, so the price moves that I've described, you know, they took place over 3 years in one case and 5 years in another case. As we stand in April 2025, we are about 2.5 years in since the last substantial trough, which was 2022. So, you know, this isn't a short-term move. We're already getting closer to that three-year mark. So it is something that is conceivable, let's say, over a five-year period of time. Now, would one place a low probability on that? Certainly. And I would have said at the beginning of the year, a very low probability. Given the events of March, though, I must say, you know, there are some analysis pieces out there that are starting to draw parallels between Trump's policy action and Nixon in the 70s. We have had this very stable global world order with the US being the big military and economic power, unilateral power, and playing a sort of, one could argue, largely supportive role in terms of maintaining both peace and trying to tip the scales in the favor of developing nations with trade policies and that. And Trump certainly does seem to be taking the world order in a different direction, as, you know, Nixon did to the extreme in 1971 by shocking his trade partners by no longer backing up the dollar with gold. So I think a lot is going to depend on how these trade negotiations play out during the 90-day pause. My sense is it is very hard to put this genie back into the bottle.
Yeah.
And even if the administration comes and says, oh, forget it, drop the tariffs, take everything back to what it was, reset. Wow. We cannot erase what has happened and the potential long-term damage to trust. So yes, if you extrapolate those percentage gains off that September 22 low, if we have the 2001 case, which played out over 5 years, you could see a high of $4,600 per ounce. If you see the 2008 case play out, you could see $4,350. So clearly averaging the two gets you somewhere to $4,300. So we certainly haven't been in a hurry to sell our gold holdings. We just think that the prevailing uncertainty and logically the implications of these tariffs on inflation and weaker growth are both very supportive for gold. Clearly, this was a much easier call to make a year ago when we actually decided to add to gold for our clients' funds when gold was around 2,200. Now we are starting to reach the top quartile of the biggest moves ever in gold. We are starting to touch that territory. So it's a harder decision to make now, but the prevailing uncertainty certainly explains it.
It just so happened earlier in the week, I was looking at I'm looking at locally listed gold miners. I was looking at their all-in sustained costs. I was looking at the average prices they got for their last reporting period. All-in sustained costs, sort of at the low end, is Pan at about $1,350. Goldfields, AngloGold Ashanti, a little over $1,600. What struck me is the price they received was only around $2,200, $2,300. If gold just goes sideways for the rest of the year, they're kind of tripling their profits.
Exactly. So if gold stays anywhere near these levels, I expect all of them to finish the calendar year with little to no debt, if not very rich cash balances. And they all have their different strategies in terms of how they are investing that cash. Mm-hmm. We've seen M&A activity both in goldfields and gold. And that M&A or greenfields expansion typically is investing in assets that would move them lower on the cost curve. So it would widen that margin that they're seeing to the gold price. Harmony Gold is the most interesting one now. They've got a copper mine, which would call for investment starting from next year, a copper mine in Australia, which would take 3 years to build. At some point, it seemed laughable, but at this point, they could actually potentially fund that themselves with increasingly lower amounts of debt, the longer the gold price stays, you know, where it is. So shareholders might not see a lot of that cash, which is a worry. But even the idea, if you're bullish on copper, that Harmony Gold could build a mid-tier small copper mine out of their own balance sheet is quite phenomenal. You wouldn't have said that was possible 2 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. We live in crazy times. I think that best sums up. As you say, I mean, it might not quite be Nixon, but certainly there's a lack of trust. And I mean, Mark Carney has said it's not coming back. There was a EU official earlier in the week saying it's not coming back. We'll leave it there. Meryl Pick, Head of Equities Research at Old Mutual Investment Group. Always appreciate the insights.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.